Today, we're going to talk about the third international mission that this church supports, and that is the Feeding Children program in Haiti. So Steve Fitterer oversees that mission, and so I'm going to invite him up. And while he's coming up, what I want to tell you about that is, in the country of Haiti, for $180, you can feed a child for 1 year. So think about that. Like, for instance, we were cleaning our refrigerator out because it was trash night. There you go. And we threw away a lot of leftover foods. And we have an opportunity to change some lives for $180. Church, that's all it costs to feed a child for 1 year in Haiti. And so we've been involved in this since 2018. And since 2018, we have fed 849 children through this program. So this is Steve Fitterer. He's also our treasurer and a good friend, great guy. And so he oversees the Haiti mission. So we're going to share a little bit about how that's going. If you've been keeping up with the news and everything, you know that Haiti is a bit of a mess right now. It's in some turmoil. So with all of that happening, Steve, and you haven't been able to get over there in a few years because of what's happening in Haiti, but we do know that the children are being fed. Do you have any concerns about the food depot, where the food is at, and the safety of those who come to get food there?
Of course. There's always been a concern. There's been concern for many years. But it is safer now than it was before. The children are able to get there. A change they made 5 years ago is the children used to get the food and walk out into the street with it, and that didn't go well because the food was taken from them. Now they sit down at a table and have been for 5 years, and they eat the food, then they leave. So it's a much safer environment for them now.
Yeah. Okay. And then there is always the concern about money and missions work, right? Sometimes money just kind of gets lost in the mix somewhere. With everything going on over there, Steve, what can you tell us? Like, I'm sitting out here today, and I'm a little concerned about maybe donating to this because of what's happening in Haiti. Like, where's the accountability, and what can you share with us as far as, like, the flow of the money getting there? Like, just what can you say about that?
Yeah, this was even on my mind a while back, and Chip mentioned something to me the other day, and somebody else asked a question. Is the money able to get to the children for the food? So when I got here today, I had a good answer for everybody. I personally know it's getting there. My family supports a child and a family there. And a couple months ago, my wife sent a check. And within 2 weeks on Messenger, I get a note from the family thanking us for the house and the food. So I know it gets there personally. But to answer you guys in that question, I called Diane. I called Diane last night. I was on the phone with her for half an hour. I wanted clarity on how the money works. And they actually wire it to a bank down there. The senior pastor, Hansen, goes and picks it up, and he gets cash, and that's how they do this. So I felt good with that answer. But I knew the money got there. But that is how it is working for them currently. And they have also used Western Union. If there's issues with the banks, which there have been in the past, they'll use Western Union, but currently the money is actually getting wired, just like here in the States, how you do things.
Yeah, good deal. And then, so it's called a food depot, right, where they go to...
Well, we call it a food depot. Yeah, it was built. We just call it that, yes.
Yeah, okay. So these pictures you're seeing now are where the kids go to get their meals. And so, like, what can you share a little bit? Like, how many kids a day are getting fed? How many times a day? How many times a week? Like, what's the whole program look like?
I'm happy I talked to her for a half an hour last night. 207 children every day, and none of the kids miss. The kids actually need a little card to get in. They just don't walk in off the street. But 207 children a day are being fed.
207?
207 a day.
Wow.
And there are 74 seniors. That number's up. It's always been a little over 200 children. But the seniors' number is up. In the afternoons, after all the children eat, they have 74 seniors that come in, and seniors is 70, 80, maybe even 90 years old. They're very old people that they also feed.
Wow. Yeah. And then And then do you have, so when a children gets fed, like, what does the process look like? I mean, do they just come in and get food? Is the gospel being preached? What does it look like?
So the kids line up outside. There's an iron gate there. When they come in, they actually have a wash station now, something new. It's been there for years. When I say new, I'm talking in the last 5 years. The kids come in, they have to wash their hands, they go sit down, and then they have a 10-minute prayer session. They teach the Bible and teach the gospel and talk about Jesus for 10 minutes, then the food is served. So there is some preaching to the children, yes.
And then do you have a story about a life that you know, maybe a child or something over there, just a real live story of somebody you know that life has been changed because of this?
He asked that question because I told him 1 week ago. Yeah, I do. So it's really neat. When we first started going, 2014 was the first year. In 2015, a group of us started sponsoring children and families down there. Scott Thompson, the owner of Thompson Concrete, the one that actually is the leader of what is going on here, he sponsored a young child. Widley was his name. And that was back in 2015. He was a young child. He was one of the street boys that they take in and actually let live there. They do about 8 children a year to a certain age, and they turn them out again. We were in Dominican Republic about 3 weeks ago at Freedom Ministries, helping Haitian children there. 31 of us went. And we got a phone call. Scott got a phone call. And it was Widley. And the next day, he showed up and joined us, that spent the night with us and worked with us till 12 o'clock the next day. Widley is in college now in the Dominican, and he is taking classes to become a mechanical engineer. Right now, he is taking Spanish classes this year because he has to speak fluent Spanish to go to college. But what a success story. There's one of the children that's making it and is going to be able to help the community. So that made us all feel really good. When we first went there, Larry told us this is going to take generations to get away from this voodoo. It's just not going to happen real quick, and that's one of the signs that we're seeing it. It was absolutely amazing to spend that time with him, and there is a great success story, yes.
Wow. So you get an opportunity, church, to feed a child for an entire year. The gospel is attached to that, and then there's stories like this, where you're giving hope to somebody who doesn't have hope. And when you give hope to somebody, it gives them kind of the mindset that they can get out of this, you know. So the next question I have then, which is kind of tied to hope, there's a picture probably coming up here soon of a cross that you built. There it is. So this cross was your idea, your vision. You had a big hand in getting it built. And we've talked in the past about the voodoo that's been conquered because of this cross. We assume it could be something to do with the cross. But what else does that cross represent maybe to the community around there? Like, do people know it's there? Is it something that people look at? Like, does it bring hope to the area?
Yeah, it's amazing. The cross, I think, Dave, were you with me when they lit it? Were you there for the lighting of it? The first time it ever got lit, Dave was actually with me. That's been probably 5 years ago. But it's never gone dark. It has been lit, which this town goes dark because of the generator systems and the solar systems and the local power. This thing has never gone out, and it's a great deal of hope for the people. There was a poem. We don't have that here, do we?
Know what?
That's okay. Yeah. If you want to.
You know what we'll do? Yeah, I do. I have it on my phone, I think. You want me to read it?
Yeah, it has a lot. It just tells you a lot about the cross, if you don't mind. But you can't miss this cross. It overlooks this town, and it's bright, and you can't help but see this cross. It's 54 feet tall. It sets on top of a hill.
Did you send it to? Oh, here it is. All right. I'll read this poem here. Atop Mercy's Mount, the cross stands tall, a beacon glowing, heeding the call. A flicker of hope in the darkest plight, guiding all souls through the depth of night. No one can extinguish this holy blaze, no gang or enemy on earth. It symbolizes love, the Savior's grace, a refuge for hearts and all who hurt. While Satan strives to dim its light, No voodoo's force can win that fight. The enemy's efforts futile despite, for on that cross Christ showed his might. The cross, yeah. The cross, unburnable, defies the ground, nor with man's hands can it be bound. For ages past, the cross was found with Jesus, his pierced hands profound. No force of state can displace the symbol of unending grace. Immovable, this cross shall stand, a testament to God's own hand. We call upon the Lord above to vanquish hate with boundless love, to quell the evil, end the strife, and lead us to eternal life. In his time, all wrongs made right, he'll guide us through the darkest night to a home prepared by his decree where joy and peace forever be. So hold firm, O faithful heart, through chaos threatens to tear apart. The Lord will rescue, he'll not shrink, his promise sure, his mercies work.
Amen.
Whew. I almost didn't make it through that.
That was better than I could have said it.
So that was written by?
Actually, Larry and Diane's daughter in Mole. She has an orphanage in Mole, and she wrote that poem.
Wow. So, you know, church, I always hate, like, comparing America to other countries, and sometimes we think America is, you know, whatever. I'm proud to live in this country. I'm proud to, you know, my heritage here in this country. But sometimes I think we take things for granted. There's people that see this cross that know that there is hope that can be found in that alone. Amen? There's some prayer requests. Maybe a couple things that they're asking for prayer for?
Yeah, there are two of them that she asked for the church to pray for. One is the food. They are struggling to get the food in. Even though the town they're in, everything is going well, pretty peaceful in that town. In Port-au-Prince, it's very bad right now. If you watch any of the news, it's not good. And they are struggling to get access to the food. They are still feeding the children, but they're struggling to get access. And something I really didn't want to say here today, but I'm going to let you know. You need to know what's up. This past week, for the first time, they were only able to feed the children 3 days, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Now, they also fed them on Sunday. So four times. Today, they're eating today. But that is because of the lack of food. They're having to ration. They will get food in. They always have. But she said this is the first time this has happened with the new nutrition center that they're having to ration the food, which is a real shame. But they will get food. They always have in the past. They'll figure this out. But right now it is very difficult because of the gangs.
Okay. All right. So before we end this interview, why don't we'll pray as a church?
I told them last night that the church would pray for them to get the food in that they need for the children and also for Hanson and his wife.
Yeah. Well, all right. I got one more question for you, but let's pray right now. So, Lord God, we want to lift up this ministry to you, God. We want to lift up Steve and how he oversees it here in the States. Larry and Diana, Larry's health. Lord God, we want to lift up the food and the transportation and how it's getting there. We ask, Lord Jesus, that your supernatural protection would be upon all those involved in this ministry in Haiti. And Steve, I just sense like the Lord is saying generations will come from the work that you're doing. Generations of children, this Pastor Hanson and his wife, this child will come to pass, and generations of families are being affected by what is happening right now, because the hand of God is taking place in Haiti where this food depot is. And we thank you for that, Jesus. And we pray these things in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, all right, last question. $180, church. Some of us can feed more than one child. Some of us might be struggling to feed a child for a year, but I think we can all do something. Now, what does it mean to you, Steve, when you know that a child is being fed for an entire year? Like, how does that make you feel? How does that affect you in knowing that a child's life is being changed for an entire year by coming here to get food?
Wow, it's amazing. It's hard to imagine that we wouldn't do it. Being there and seeing the children that don't have food, I actually was able to see children that were dying because they just simply did not have food. The signs were there, and I remember this in the beginning. It's tough to go through, to go up and hold on to a child, and they tell you the child, it's too late. Even with food, they won't survive because something happens to the body when you go so long without food. Food won't turn it around. It's too late. Whatever happens, they start getting white hair and splotches and a little bit bigger belly. But I saw that in the beginning, to 14, 15, 16. And the last four or five times down, because of the nutrition center and the food in that area, it really wasn't prevalent. It was still going on. I just wasn't around it like I was the first few years. So I can't imagine not feeding these children.
Amen. Yeah. All right. Well, that's what we're going to do, church, for our Easter offering. So, Steve, thank you for coming up and sharing with us. And let's just give Steve a round of applause. And thanks, man.